The 1,000th U.S. soldier died in Iraq. The number is even higher today. As the election campaign proceeds, many Americans are asking, what does the United States have to show for its losses in Iraq? What do Iraqis have to show for the change of regime there? Joint Chief of Staff Chairman Richard Myers acknowledged that some areas of Iraq, including Fallujah and Ramadi, are essentially still controlled by insurgent forces. How should the U.S. commitment to Iraq proceed now? Joining us to talk about the military and political situation are Bathsheba Crocker and retired General William Nash. Ms. Crocker co-directs the Post-Conflict Reconstruction Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And General Nash is a fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you for being back with us, General.
Thank you, Scott.
Let me turn to you, if I could, first, General. How would you describe U.S. military strategy in Iraq at the moment?
Well, I think the military strategy is primarily oriented on trying to support the political development process that of the interim government evolving towards a more permanent representative democracy. The problem, of course, is that political development process is inhibited by the security situation and the failure to develop the oil industry and other economic opportunities. So the three factors of security, politics, and economics, though they're intertwined and resting on each other, the very difficult security situation and the insurgency that seems to continue to grow limits our ability to execute any strategy.
Ms. Crocker, let me turn to you, because you have a new report this week, Measuring Progress in the Reconstruction of Iraq. And I want to take the opportunity to pose a question to you. A number of Iraqis have asked me, which is, how is it the most militarily powerful nation on earth that overturned a vicious dictator in 3 weeks can't make the water run, can't make the electricity run?
Well, I think that is sort of the key question from the perspective of the Iraqis, and it was one of the things that we saw as we looked at the Iraqi perspective on the reconstruction. We have been very focused on large-scale, capital-intensive projects like huge power plants that tend to be longer-term in nature in terms of getting them up and going, and also are much more susceptible to things like sabotage. And if you take out one centralized plant, you knock out a lot of power around the country. I think there are also other factors such as under Saddam, he favored certain communities for power production. Mm-hmm. So certain parts of the country just got more power than other parts did. In the post-war phase, the U.S. has conducted it more equitably. So there are certain parts of the country that may be seeing more power and better services than they did under Saddam, but there are other parts of the country, and they tend to be those, unfortunately, where we're also facing very difficult security challenges, such as Fallujah and Baghdad and Mosul, where the population is actually feeling a distinct loss in terms of some of the things they were used to receiving under Saddam, and I think that's contributing to the problems.
Mm-hmm. General Nash, at what point do you have to stop referring to pockets of insurgency and have to recognize that the pockets are running together?
Well, I think there is a large insurgency taking place, and the ability of Iraqi government elements, be they civilian or military, they cannot operate, and even the U.S. military has a great deal of difficulty under attack, mostly by remote weapons, but also ambushes come along all too often.
I would think that calling it pockets of insurgency also underplays the importance that the security situation, even in those particular pockets, has on the rest of the reconstruction efforts throughout the country. We interviewed Iraqis all over the country, and even those who are not living through the insurgency every day feel it very directly on their lives if they hear what is going on in Baghdad or what is going on in Najaf. And even in some of those parts of the country that are considered more stable, such as the North Iraqi Kurdistan region, which certainly is more stable and secure from a security perspective, there are other things going on there that are signs of worrisome trends, such as low results we saw on their feelings about governance and participation in the upcoming elections and the government in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. Does the insurgency at the same time have a strategy that either of you discern?
Their major strategy, and this is the advantage of being an insurgent, is to disrupt whatever the United States or the interim government is trying to do. So they win when they disrupt the oil flow. They win when they kill an American. They win when they assassinate an Iraqi official.
I think that's certainly true. And we also saw that Iraqis have an enormous amount of faith and optimism in their own institutions, be it their security forces or their governing institutions. They very much are leaning toward wanting the foreigners out. And not only are they frustrated with our inability so far to turn the corner on certain of these questions like power and water and the security situation, but they also just no longer, I think, have faith that we will be able to turn that corner.
Mm-hmm. Are there some things that the Iraqi government, this new Iraqi government, would rather the U.S. do so that they don't have to do it? And I'm thinking of something like a confrontation with the Muqtada al-Sadr.
I think Prime Minister Alawi's government is probably painfully aware of the fact that it is in danger of being seen as a U.S. puppet, and it is already seen as a U.S. puppet by certain parts of the Iraqi population. And I think it very well may be that this sort of single unifying theme among Iraq's politicians is that they will invite the foreigners to leave if elected.
General Nash, you at one point commanded U.S. forces in Bosnia. And, you know, the exact pledge escapes me at the moment, but I can recall at one point somebody saying U.S. troops will be out of there in a year.
It was the President of the United States that said that, Scott.
Okay, all right. And U.S. troops are still there. To put the two of you on the spot, can either of you see any ways in which U.S. policy is affected by the fact that this is an election season and there are just some things that certain politicians wouldn't want to do or wouldn't want to say?
Frankly, I don't think so. I think they're working issues so up close in Iraq that the decisions being made there as supported by Washington are not necessarily directly influenced by the election. I think it's obvious that the current administration, looking for re-election, wants to put as good a face on the situation as they possibly can.
I agree completely with General Nash that there are people on the ground doing the sort of military planning day to day who are not intimately thinking about the elections in this country, but politicians running on both sides in this country are thinking about our own upcoming elections. But if something really blows up in a certain part of the country in Iraq, that's something that they will just not be able to manage from this end.
Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bathsheba Crocker is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and retired General William Nash, a fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.